2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the Bible says in verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now there's only one man in the Bible they call the son of perdition. His name is Judas Iscariot. And Jesus Christ said that there's 12 among us, and one of you is a devil. One of you is a devil. A devil. He didn't say he was full of the devil. He said one of you is a devil. And you can go to the book of Psalms and run it down. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I've looked at it a few times here as of recent and find where it's speaking of this person, Judas Iscariot, that betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, that talks about the sin of his mother. The sin of his mother. What was the sin of his mother? Well, Jesus Christ's mother was given seed of the Holy Ghost. Where did Judas Iscariot's mother's seed come from? The devil. It's the sin of his mother. And you find here that son of perdition. In verse 4, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Go to Ezekiel chapter 28, the book of Ezekiel. And it's amazing. You read through the Old Testament, and there's many perfect pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in the book of Psalms. Herbert Williamson read out of Acts chapter 1 the other day, speaking about the Antichrist. And talking about Judas Iscariot, rather, that betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can find in Acts chapter 1, go back to Psalms 69, and it'll tell you in details things about Judas Iscariot and things that the Lord said about him. And you'll also find in Psalm 69 a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and going down into the lower parts of the earth, going down into hell. You'll find that there in Psalm 69. Here in Ezekiel chapter 28 is talking about the prince of Tyrus and the talking about Lucifer, talking about Satan. Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 1, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee." Ladies and gentlemen, you find here is Lucifer. The Bible said there's no secret that they can hide from thee. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of folks that have this weak picture of who Lucifer is. Lucifer is such a powerful being that one-third of the heaven, one-third of the angels of heaven thought that he was so powerful that he could keep the whole universe in order. One-third of heaven, that's how powerful Lucifer is. He deceived them, thought that he could set his heart as the heart of God, that he could take over heaven, that he could be God, and that he could run the entire universe. That's how powerful Satan is. There's not a secret that can be hidden from him. A lot of folks don't think that Satan can be everywhere at one place. But ladies and gentlemen, what is the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience? How come Satan can bother your pastor and some pastor over in China at the same time? How come Satan can bother some of you in here and can also be bothering other people in this church at the same time? Because there is a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He is everywhere that worketh in the children of disobedience. That's how powerful Satan is. That's how powerful he is. Ladies and gentlemen, The problem is, most people have a problem with that because they have a Jesus Christ that is nothing but a little nothing.
Right.
That cannot give assurance, that has no power, that's weak. They have a God that's weak. Ladies and gentlemen, the God of the Bible, the God that created the heaven and the earth, the God that's the creator of the universe, the God that put every star in its place, the God that's numbered every hair on your head, is the very God that one day will take that old Lucifer, that old Slufa, old Satan, and cast him into the bottomless pit for all of eternity.
Right.
That's the God that we serve. The God that's a whole lot more powerful than that. And the reason why Satan, he has a lot of wisdom. But ladies and gentlemen, he has corrupted wisdom. Wisdom that is corrupted. But God's wisdom is holy. That's what separates him from the devil. And what triumphs over all that wisdom? God's holiness does. God's holiness.
Sir.
What triumphs over power? Holiness does. What triumphs over the grave? Holiness does.
Sure.
You know why he was resurrected? Because the spirit of holiness. That's why he was resurrected. Ladies and gentlemen, Lucifer also, the Antichrist also will be resurrected. But he's not holy. He's not holy. That's what separates. There's a lot of powerful things out there in the universe. There's a lot of things that aren't holy. And it's not God. That's what separates. And thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver unto thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Because of thy riches. Ladies and gentlemen, the love of money is the root of all evil. Did say money is the root of all evil. Satan had riches before this whole entire universe, the world was created as we see it.
Right.
He had riches. There was a monetary system in heaven before this earth was ever even created. There was riches in heaven. And there was money in heaven that the Bible talks about. And because of his riches, he was lifted up. He was lifted up in pride. That's what happens. And because of this, he said, I will be God. I will be God. Now, some of you that are sitting in here today, you have that same mindset about your own life. And Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden, what was the first lie? Ye shall not surely die. That's the lie that Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth. Because he's a liar and the father of lies. You know why you lie to people? Because you're a hater. That's why.
Right.
Lying is always an act of hatred. Always an act of hatred towards an individual. Always. You don't love people that you lie to. You lie to people because you don't really love them. And people want to teach their children that Santa Claus is real. Do you really love your children if you lie to them? Somebody told me a couple years ago, well, they're going to miss out on Christmas. I said, well, Jesus will just have to take second best to Santa Claus, won't he? Jesus just can't quite compare to Santa Claus. Jesus is a failure. Who is Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, to this little lie over here, this big old fat man that eats everybody's cookies at 12 o'clock? Who is Jesus Christ compared to him? He's going to have to take second best to some big old fat man in a red suit with a white beard. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to sit around and tell my kid a lie. You can lie to your children all you want to, but lying is an act of hatred. It's an act of hatred. You lie to people because you despise them, because you really don't love them. Why do husbands lie to their wives? That ain't an act of love. Anyways, he said that because thou set thy heart as the heart of God, and that he would be God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee and the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's Satan. What did he say? He said, I will set my heart as the heart of God. I will set my throne above the stars of God. That's what he said. That's what Lucifer said in his heart. Now, many of you in here have said, Who is God to tell me what I'm going to do with my life? Who is God to dictate to me? Who is God and His Word to tell me how I'm going to live?
Yep.
Who is God to tell me? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to set my throne above the stars of God. I will be God. That's what you say in your heart. Adam and Eve, what'd they do? He said, you could be as gods. And she took of that fruit and she ate it. Why? Because she set her heart as the heart of God. She wanted to be God. She wanted to be God. I will be God. Why don't you just go ahead, quit being a hypocrite, look God square in the face and say, God, I'm God of my life. You're not going to tell me. I don't have to go to your church. I don't have to obey the word of God. I'm going to live in sin because I'm God and you're not. That's what you say in your heart. Some of you are just too big of cowards to say it to his face. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. The manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day of approaching. Is that what the Bible says?
That's what it says.
So is God a fool?
Sir.
Is God an idiot? Is God an idiot? Is that what God said? Is God an idiot?
No, sir.
Or are you God? You set your heart as the heart of God? I will be God. I'll sit upon the throne of my own life.
That's good.
I'll be God and do everything my way and exclude God out of every bit of it. Because you're God. Let's let you run the universe. Let's let everybody be just like you. Let you run the whole entire universe. Because you created it, didn't you? You're God. And it's a crying out loud shame that you'd rather choose yourself to be God rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. You're an awful, wimpy little God. And here back in 2 Thessalonians, that's what he's talking about. Satan, Lucifer, he set his heart as the heart of God. And he said that he will be God. He sat in the place of God, was exalted as God. Then we move on. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God? This is in verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Or that is worshipped so that he is God, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this his time. For the mystery of iniquity hath already worked. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. You look at the mystery of iniquity that's already working. It's that spirit of lawlessness. Lawlessness. The law of God, ladies and gentlemen, is pure. The law of God is just. The law of God is holy. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Lawlessness. You look at our nation today. There's no boundaries. We don't. What did we want to do? What does people want to do in the world? They said, let us break their bands asunder.
Right.
Let us cast their cords from us. What did the Bible say? The Lord shall have them in derision. The Lord shall have them in derision. Why? Because they wanted to take God's commands. They wanted to take those boundaries that God set up. They wanted to take these things that God set up in their life and say, we don't want these things in our life. There's been people that were raised to go to church. They were raised to obey the Bible. They were raised with boundaries in their lives, and they broke those boundaries out of their lives because they do not want God, because they're rebellious, because they're disobedient, because they're stubborn against the things of God, and they're a rebel, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as idolatry.
All right.
And they just going to do things their way. Let's break those bands asunder. We're going to do things our way. God will have you in derision.
Mm.
Oh, not me. I'll get by with it. You may get by with it for a little while. Mm. Mark this down. There's people in here that know, that have lived it. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
You sow to the flesh, you'll love the flesh, reap corruption. You sow to the spirit, you'll love the spirit, reap life everlasting. Some of y'all ought to say amen right there. Some of y'all to say amen for your children's sake, for the young people's sake. People act like, you know, they don't want their children to know anything about their past and why they are what they are today. You ought to let your children know. You ought to let people know, hey, I've committed this sin. I've committed adultery. I've lived in adultery. This is what it's done. Let your kids know. Let young people know, this is what adultery's done in our life. This is what fornication's done in my life. I know people that, there's a lady that's pretty close to me and my wife that deals with this depression thing. Where is this depression coming from? It's coming from these sexual sins. Sexual sins and sexual perversions. That's where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Oh, we think it's all fine and dandy. You think people think it's all fine and dandy, then you wake up one night in the middle of the night thinking about that first person you were ever with, and you're sitting there laying with your spouse. How do you like that? How fun is that? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you still have a desire for that first person. You ought to tell your children about these things. You ought to let them know these things.
That's right.
Give them an understanding of these things. They said, you know, that's the reality of it. Everybody tells you, oh, it's not fun. It's not fun. Yeah, it is fun. There's pleasure in sin for a season. There's a time that you're going to pay for. The Bible says that adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. God will judge. It's not a matter of fact if he might. God didn't say, well, I might judge them if I feel like it. God will judge. God will judge. You're going to face a judgment for it. You're going to face it. Might get by with it now, but ladies and gentlemen, mark this down. You're going to face it. We wonder why everybody's going through depression. And some of you have been in here. We've gone through it. There's a book that's called Hook that talks about that, how your brain chemically bonds to your mate, the first person you've ever been with. And the more you go on and commit your fornication, the more partners you have, everything else, you destroy that part in your body. And you find these women that have to go in and they have to have C-sections because they can't have a proper birth. The reason why is because they fornicated so much and they don't have certain chemicals dropping in their brain to allow them to be able to have babies. Is that right, Eric? Is that right? Somewhat. There's other factors. I know there's other factors, Eric. But I do know that that's a factor too. And there is a chemical that is dropped into your brain. I can't remember if it's oxytocin. It's dropped in your brain, and when you're giving birth, it drops into your brain, and that is what makes it a little bit easier for you giving birth to that child. Makes it a little bit easier. Women don't have that today. Women do not have that today. They're not able to bond with their children. They're not able to love their children properly. Men don't know how to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Men don't know how to love because the only thing that they've ever been taught about love is lust.
Yeah.
They don't know how to love, they know how to lust.
Right.
They know how to go lay around with somebody. That's all they know. Then they have to get married and they have to find out that their spouse has all kinds of stupidity about them, and they don't know how to love that person. They just can't live with them because they don't know how to love. Men don't know how to be a man, and women don't know how to be a woman. We have a generation of men that don't know how to rule their homes because they're a bunch of fornicators and a bunch of sorry, ungodly devils that don't know how to be men. They don't have any wisdom, and they don't know how to be men. They're a bunch of mouses. We wonder what's wrong with America. Everybody wants to sit around and run their mouths about women and everything else, but men don't know how to be men. Men don't know how to be men. Because they wanted to go out and fornicate. They wanted to throw that thing away to try to prove to everybody how much of a man they are. And they don't know how to love. They know how to lust. That's all they know how to do. Then they get married and they think it'll all be fixed. Guess what? I'm married. I have these little patterns that I set up in my life. I went down here to the public school and taught, oh, lust after girls, lust after girls, lust after girls. And you know what I have to do every day of my life? I have to fight trying to check out girls. Come on, men. You know what I'm talking about. You set these little patterns in your life. It don't end when you get married. Oh, I'm going to love her. Oh, I'm going to It don't end when you get married. It don't end. Set these little patterns in your life.
That's exactly right, boy.
It don't end.
No, it don't.
It just gets worse. The devil just said, oh, you know, if you could have just married that over there, you would have had it all just right. Whoa. That's what the devil does. Oh, if you could... Look, if you would have just married that, look how much better things would have been.
Lost the ravish.
That's what happens. Hey, people won't discuss these kind of things in Baptist churches because people look at you like you're an idiot.
That's right.
Yeah, but that's the reality of it.
Right. We'll be ravished.
That's the reality of it.
Right. You sit around in lust, you can't ravish your own wife.
And that's the shame.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just an idiot. It's okay. I'll be an idiot. But anyways, and then that in verse 8, 2 Thessalonians, and that then shall that wicked be revealed, the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him, whom coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They receive not the love of the... What did they receive? What did they receive? And for this cause, God sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. Who? Who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's who God's going to send a strong delusion to. Go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. And I'm not going to try to read the whole thing. I'll start reading in verse 3 of Jeremiah chapter 4. For thus saith the Lord unto the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it. Because of the evil of your doings, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry. Gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not. For I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people in Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. You know what the judgment of God is upon people's lives? You know why it's going on so much in America? One of the judgments of God is God would send a false prophet or a false preacher your way and tell you that you have peace when you really don't.
Right.
That's one of the things that God does. God will send, and he has sent, you find it in the Bible, a lying spirit to people. God has sent a lying spirit to people to tell them
a lie,
that they have peace, and tell them a lie. God did that.
Sure did.
God did it. And he said here, ah, Lord God, greatly thou hast deceived this people in Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. In the book of Luke chapter 16, there was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen that fared sumptuously every day. There's a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid in his gate full of sores, a beggar. That rich man, he died. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Now, why did he say Father Abraham? Why did he say Father Abraham? This man was a Jew, that's why.
Right.
He was of Abraham. That's why.
Here he is. He was born after Abraham. You didn't find Gentiles in this time period ever saying that Abraham is our father. I believe it was John the Baptist. He said, "Think not to say in yourselves, you have Abraham as to your father, for God's able to raise up of these stones children unto Abraham." God did raise up some other children to Abraham. Mm-hmm. He did. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are one of the children of Abraham. Find that in the book of Romans. You're of Abraham. And why? Because he's your father. Father of faith. Believe after the same manner that Abraham did. Here's this Jew. He said in Romans, I believe chapter 4, "What shall we say then about our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found?" And here's the writer. He's a Jew. Ladies and gentlemen, you find that the Jews, they went around, "Well, Abraham's our father. Abraham's our father." And they act like they loved Abraham. They act like they loved the prophets and everything else. The Jews did. Here's this rich man. He said, "Father Abraham." Why? Because he's a Jewish person. He's been given the laws. He's been given the prophets. He's been given the promises. He's been given the commandments. He's been given the oracles of God. He's been given all these things. That's who the oracles of God were given to. That's who. And what is it? They had the Bible talks about how they had an advantage. Because unto them were committed the oracles of God, the Bible says. He was given all these things. He had the heritage of Abraham. He had the stories of the Bible. He had Moses and the prophets. He had all these people. Claimed Father Abraham. And there's no doubt in my mind that this man was a religious man. Not a doubt in my mind that this rich man was a religious man. You find him down there at the synagogues. Pretending to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Pretending to love God. Pretending to love the scriptures. Pretending all these things. It was all just hypocrisy. All just hypocrisy. It was all fake. It's all fake. It's all lies. It was all lies. And that's how most people live today. They live a lie. They live an absolute lie. They do not live the truth. They live a lie. And you have to lie when you come to church. You have to lie to your children. You have to lie to your spouse. You have to lie to everybody because you live a lie and you are a lie. You no longer live the lie. You've become the lie because you're a liar. You lie so much that you have to lie to cover up your lies. That's what everybody does. They lie so much. They have to lie to cover up their lies.
Sure.
My little girl just the other day, I called her lying to cover up a lie.
Such a liar.
She's not allowed to take her baby dolls and strip their clothes off because there's a message to that. We don't want you to run around naked.
Right.
And we don't let her do that with her baby dolls. Just take them off and let them be naked and everything else.
Sure.
And her mom tells her not to do that. Well, she was hiding underneath the table, taking that baby's clothes off. And she was foolish enough to do it twice in the same day. She got a spanking both times.
Good.
That's why the Bible says that rod of correction will drive that foolishness far from them. That's foolish.
Sure.
It's foolish to do that. Why y'all are whipping them.
Hallelujah.
And I didn't say abuse them. I didn't say smack them with your hands. I didn't say punch them in the mouth. I said take that rod of correction like the Bible says.
Amen.
And it'll drive that foolishness far from them.
Beat the devil out of them. Amen.
It didn't say it as, to be mad at them either.
No, just beat them.
Do it the right way.
Amen.
Do it the way that's pleasing unto the Lord. And well, what did she do? She went and hid under a table. Mm-hmm. And she lied, and then she tried to cover it up with a lie. Yeah. Oh, I didn't do it. Then she took one of her little dolls and threw it in the closet trying to hide it like she didn't do it. Lying to cover up a lie. That's what people do. That's how people live. They lie to cover up their lies. And they keep on lying. They produce iniquity unto iniquity unto iniquity unto iniquity unto iniquity unto iniquity.
Right.
Just keep on and on and on and on. That's the way people live. They're liars. The Bible said the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. All liars. And everything else. So, I don't remember what I was even talking about. I was talking about something, though. But
Anyways, I was talking about Abraham. He said we have Abraham to our father. Probably a religious man. You know what else? He said, Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. He said, son, remember that thou, in thy lifetime, receivest thy good things. You are rich. That's what riches do. You're able to hide by, you know, they talk about this. Michael, if he was here, he would agree with me. They talk about this in the DSS, that you can find and see all, you can see it upon the children of poor people and the kids being molested and abused. You can see it so wonderfully, just so blatant. You can just look at it. There's something wrong with that kid. But you can't see it in the rich and middle class. And the DSS hates it, because the middle class is the worst for pedophilia, and the rich class is the worst for pedophilia. They can just hide it better. They can just hide it better. Why? Because they have this money. They have money. Rich people are foolish. A lot of rich people I know are foolish. I mean, am I not telling the truth? You look at Jerry Lucia, he's a foolish man.
Sure.
You look at Jerry Smith, there's some things that are very foolish about him.
Sure.
And I could go down the list of people that, in fact, my wife's grandmother, people tried to influence her to marry a man that's almost a billionaire. But she will not marry him, and today she will not talk to him. He's got all the money in the world. All the money that she could ever want. She would inherit billions of dollars. But he's such a miserable person that she don't even want to be with him. But he's got money and he looks so good. You go at Christmas time. He's got this big house and a cabin we can go to. And he's just so friendly. And then you go live with him and he's miserable as hell. That's what riches do for you. You have this high tower. You have this wall that you can hide behind. You can put on this facade. And everybody thinks that you're something when you're nothing but a fool. Look at their lives. Go down here to Winston-Salem, look at the rich people's lives. They're just as foolish as the poor people. They're just able to hide it because they have their riches. They're able to hide it better. That's how some of you in here are. You have a little bit of money, so you're able to hide it. You have a pretty nice little house, so you're able to hide it. People sit around and talk about trailer park trash and everything else. But if rich people didn't have money, they'd be just as crazy in the head. They're just able to hide it a little bit better because they can have a little bit nicer car. They can have a little bit nicer of a house. And it looks like they have everything together, but they're fools. But so why is the divorce rate amongst these people so prevalent? Because they're fools. They don't know how to love their children. You talk to their children are strung out on dope and everything else. You go down there to Forsyth Country Day, I know what I'm talking about. Hunter Fur and all of them. Hunter Fur got caught drinking in the parking lot down there at Forsyth Country Day. Got kicked out and had to go to Mount Tabor. But we can hide it because we're millionaires. We can hide it. We look real good because we're rich. It's not as bad as some little dope. Oh, he's a dope head. He's an idiot. He's a loser. He got caught with drugs in his car. He's just an idiot. But when you're rich, you look a whole lot better. You can hide it a lot. Talk about these kids down here at Davie County High School. About 50 kids got busted with drugs. The only one that didn't really get in trouble was the lawyer's son.
Lawyer's boy. Yeah.
He's just as much a fool as the poor kid, but his dad's a lawyer and has money, so he got by with it. You're able to hide. That's the difference. Money don't make you happy. You can have all the money in the world. How many people do we know that have money that are miserable as the devil? Jerry Smith has to buy people to hang around him.
Sure.
That's what he has to do. To take you out to a trip to South Dakota and pay for it just so that he can have some buddies to hang around, because he never had anything to do with his kids. He cheated on his wife and everything. I'm talking about that's how people with money live. Cheated on his wife, had nothing to do with his kids. His kids don't want nothing to do with him. So he has to pay for people to hang around him. That's what he has to do. I'm just being honest. And have to control your life in the process. That's how it is. Think money's going to make you happy? If you're not content with your life now, you won't be content with money then, if you have it. Bible says, woe unto them that will be rich. They fall into many hurtful lusts. Fall into many hurtful lusts. And everything else. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you having money.
And I have a friend up there in Indiana. He's got money. He said it's been the destruction of his children, the destruction of his family.
Sure it is.
Destruction of it. He'll be honest with you and say, my money has been... The problem is he can't see it's the destruction of him.
That's right. His own soul.
Destruction of him.
Right.
He's going to go to hell because he has money. He's going to go straight to hell because he has money.
That's right.
That's what his problem is. Who are you to tell me? You don't have the money that I have. Who are you to tell me? Who are you to tell? I'm always right. Look at how much money I have. I have to be smart. I have to be a wise person. Look at all this money that I have. A lot of these rich people, they never had anything without some help. Never had anything if they didn't have any help.
Right.
I don't want to hear all this self-made garbage. Nobody's self-made. If they have any a penny in their pocket, it's because God gave it to them. God gave it to them.
Right.
I don't care if they work their fingers to the bone. God gave it to them. Why? Because God gives you the desires of your heart. God gives you the desires of your heart. You know why people are billionaires? They talk about some of these billionaire people. These billionaires out there. What's that guy out there in Canada, Mr. Wonderful on the Shark Tank show? You know what his life's like? Who wants to live this life? Get to see your kids like, you know, maybe once every few months. You get to sleep like 2 hours a night, maybe. Because you love money so much. And that's your life, day in and day out. Well, I gotta wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning because if I do, I might be able to make $250,000 if I can do that.
You will be rich.
Who wants to live that life?
That's right.
What a joyful life. Oh, hallelujah. And they're gonna go straight to hell with their billions of dollars. They're going to die and go straight to hell with every penny that they have. They're not going to carry their money in hell. Nobody's going to care that they made a cent when they're in hell. Everybody's going to hate them. Everybody's going to despise them. Everybody's going to gnash on them with their teeth. And everybody's going to just despise the fact that they're there and hate them. What's going to happen? And... that rich man, clothed in purple and fine linen, why did he go to hell? Why did he go to hell? He had his riches. He had his high tower to hide behind. Had his little high tower because he would rather choose his religion rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather choose his religion over the truth. The Bible says that there's a spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? They that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you're not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit, if so be that Christ dwelleth in you. You're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit. You can walk after the flesh, you'll die. You'll die. If you live after the flesh, ye shall die.
That's what he says.
That's what the Bible says. Live after it, you're going to die. If you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The Bible says we've been given the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And his spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. We are the children of God. Ladies, people talk about, the devil made me doubt. I would hate to think that the devil's more powerful than the God I serve. Oh, the devil has so much power as to make me doubt. The Bible said that his spirit beareth witness with my spirit that we're the children of God. If we've received the witness of the world, the witness of God is greater. There's a spirit that lives on the inside that says, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. You don't sit around and live in doubt 1 week and doubt in the next week. There's a spirit that beareth witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And ladies and gentlemen, God lives on the inside and says, you are my child. You are my child.
Right.
You don't have to have somebody tell you. Witness of God's greater. The devil may not be making some of you doubt. What was it? Samuel in the Bible, I believe it was Samuel and Eli. Samuel kept waking up in the middle of the night,
right,
saying, going over to Eli, did you call my name?
Right. Yeah.
He said, no, I didn't call your name. He'd go right back over there to sleep. Mm-hmm. He'd hear a voice again, go back over there to Eli. Did you call my name again, Eli? And he would go right back to sleep. And finally, Eli said, it's the Lord.
It's the Lord, son.
Some of you can't recognize the voice of the Lord because you're too busy in the things of the world. You won't look at your Bible and you will not study your Bible. You will not listen to preaching. And the devil has deceived you and told you that that is the devil rather than God.
Right.
Some of you.
My God, that's good.
Some of y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, God will send you a strong delusion. Why? Because you loved the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do you love God? Do you love God? Do you love the Bible? Do you love truth? Or do you love the world? Do you love the things of the world? Do you love the sins of the world? Do you love the pleasures of the world? The world system. What are you caught up in? You love not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Where's your pleasure at today? Where's your pleasure at today? I'm glad that we can come in here in this church. We can open up our songbook and sing, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus." Some of you can't sing that in truth. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. I can ride down the road and sing, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus." I've done tried a few things in this world. You know what? I've had a little popularity because I did my little wrestling. I did my little sport. Oh, yes, I was something and everything else. Where did it get me in life? Let's see. Now I tell people and they're like, cool. Sorry, I was telling Matt the other day. He was having a little argument with his buddy. His buddy said that I wasn't. I said, who cares? I mean, one of these days, his little buddy that plays baseball at Appalachian State 5 years from now, I played baseball at Appalachian State. People are going to be like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. Nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to care. I told Matthew, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride.
It's good.
Things in this world don't matter to nothing. I could have went to college. I could have went to West Point. I could have went to those places. But if I didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ, it would have just been a waste. If I didn't serve the Lord Jesus Christ, it would have just been a waste.
What?
Where's your pleasure at? Where's your desires at? Are they in the world or are they in God? Are they in God or are they in the world? And that's what this rich man, not only that, but the rich man, whenever he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. Though one rose from the dead. I tell you why that rich man went to hell, because he wouldn't believe the laws of God.
Right.
Wouldn't believe the laws of God. You know what the Holy Ghost does? The Holy Ghost agrees with the laws of God.
Right.
And testifies that they are true.
That's the gospel.
He said, when the Holy Ghost shall come, he shall reprove the world of sin, of judgment, of righteousness. Why? Why of sin? Why is it that the Holy Ghost reproves you of sin? That's what that conviction is. That's where that doubt's coming from in most people. He reproves the world of sin because they believe not on me. They believe not on me. They believe not on me. He reproves the world of sin because they believe not on me. Of judgment and of righteousness. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He reproves you of sin because you don't believe. You don't believe. And he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The Bible says that God is pleased with our faith. The Bible says, and without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ladies and gentlemen, he would not come because of the law of God. He would not believe the law of God. These Jews, they throw up, oh, we believe the Old Testament, we believe Moses. No, they don't. They believe Moses, they believe Jesus Christ. Moses spoke of Jesus Christ. You read through the Psalms and you find literally the words of Jesus Christ being spoken through the book of Psalms. Just so clearly, just so wonderfully you find it. If you believe Moses, if you believe the laws of God, you believe over the Passover lamb where they took that blood and they sprinkled upon the doorpost and on the lintel and they passed over on that dry ground. Ladies and gentlemen, and he said, whenever I see the blood upon the doorpost and on the lintel and you take that lamb, you eat it and it lives within you and it's on the inside of you. And when I see that and you've done this, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Who is that talking about? I tell you why people won't be saved, because they do not believe the laws of God. They do not believe Moses. They do not believe the Old Testament.
That's right.
They do not believe it. These Baptist preachers, they can run around all they want to talk about, that's the Old Testament. These little liberals, they can run around here and say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, Jesus said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham,
Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, if you would not believe the laws of God, if you'll not believe Moses, if you'll not believe that Old Testament, you won't believe me.
That's right. Amen.
That's why you won't get saved. Who's the law of God for?
Guilty.
Go, let's look at the book of 1 Timothy. Who is the law of God for? Romans chapter 8. I'll say this while we're turning there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Ladies and gentlemen, who is it? What is it? There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Listen, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who's the law of God for? This is who it's for. And 1 Timothy 1:9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, and for the sinners. Now let me ask you this. Is your life godly? Is your life godly? What does that mean? That you do things God's way. Do you do things God's way, or do you do things your way, or the way of the world, the way of the flesh, the way of Satan? The law of God is for the unholy. Are you holy or are you unholy? Are you unholy or you want to know the works of God? One of the works of God in an individual's life is holiness. You know what the Bible says? That their fruit will be unto holiness in the book of Romans, the Bible says. I believe it's in Romans chapter 8. That their fruit will be unto holiness. Maybe chapter 6 rather. Romans chapter 6, I think. Their fruit's unto holiness. Holiness. And talking about saved people. Unholy and profane. Taking the things that are pure in the sight of God and twisting it and making it perverse. Profane. Profaning the things of God. And you know who God's looking for? God's looking for a man that will say, I have perverted that which is right. I have sinned against God. I've perverted that which is right. That's who God's looking for. Profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. Do you hate in your heart? God said, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. And we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Are you a murderer in your heart? God said, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. If you hate it, you're a murderer. We know that no murderer hath eternal life. And he said, not as Cain, who is of that wicked one, wherefore he slew his brother, because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what the Bible says. And that's where murdering came from. It came from hating. Hating. And people sit around and hate Muslims. I tell you why they hate Muslims, because they don't know God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. The Bible says, love your enemies. Anybody can love people that like them back, but can you love your enemy? You can sit around and watch Fox News all day long and think the Muslims are terrorists. Well, why don't you ever take a scroll back through history every now and then, actually read instead of listening to these bunch of reprobates on television, and actually look at what happened in history. There was a time when there was a Spanish caliphate set up by the Muslims that protected Christians and Jews. Because the Catholic Church was trying to annihilate Jews and Anabaptists from off the face of the earth. Where did they go to? They went down there to Spain, where all the Muslim government had power and control.
Protected them.
Because they protected them. Oh, well, why don't Sean Hannity tell me that? Because he's a fool and because he's an idiot. He sits around and gets drunk all the time. That's who you listen to. You don't think? Go listen to him on the radio. He talks about drinking every night. He's a drunkard. But he's going to tell me how to think. Bunch of sodomites. Shepard Smith down there on Fox News. He's a sodomite. Oh, he loves God. He's a conservative. He's a sodomite. Yeah.
That's right.
Why don't you get something from the Bible? Yeah. Love. People don't love. They hate. Murderers of fathers. People can judge. I've heard Baptist preachers say, let's take an atomic bomb and drop it on the Middle East and put all of them into hell. Well, I'll tell you what God said over there in the book of Ezekiel. He said, God's not pleased with the death of the wicked. Is that of God? God's not pleased if they die and go to hell. He sent his son to die for them. Jesus came to save Muslims. Jesus came to save white people. Jesus came to save Mexicans. Jesus came to save white people. Jesus came to save Africans. Jesus came to save the Chinese and the communists and the socialists and the heathen and the Australians. Jesus came to save all of them. I don't care what Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, or any of those other reprobates say. I tell you what God says. God said love them. I tell you why Muslims won't get saved. I tell you why they ought to go crazy in America is because everybody hates them. Why don't one of y'all get the guts to look at a Muslim in the eyes and say, my God is real. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Right. Why don't you get that guts instead of sitting around running your mouth watching Fox News? Why don't you look at one in the eyes and say, Jesus is the Son of God. Right. And have something about you.
That's right. Get you enough God to bust.
Most of them are leaving the Middle East and coming over here. Why are they leaving? Because they're fleeing that garbage that's over there. And they're hated so much by Christians, just like the Italians were. The Italians were hated here in America when they first came over here in the early 1900s. They fled the Catholic Church's rule in Italy. They came over here and were hated by Protestants because they were Catholics. And the Catholics won them back over. Why don't you get some God about you and learn how to love one of them and look them in the eyes and say, Jesus is the Son of God. Right. Learn how to love them. They won't get saved in America. Mm-hmm. They're going to go straight to hell because America hates them. America won't love them. They're going to go to hell. And because people are full of hatred. God didn't make you full of hate. God didn't do that. If He saved you, He didn't make you full of hate. He'll teach you how to love people that don't love you back. He'll teach you how to love your mother-in-law, Aunt Holly. He'll teach you how to love your daughter-in-law. He'll teach you how to love your son-in-law. He'll teach you how to love your brothers and your sisters. He'll teach you how to love those people that think that you're a nutcase. He'll teach you how to love those people that think that you're an idiot and a moron. He'll teach you how to love those people that get on your nerves every time that you're around them. He'll teach you how to love those people that come in church, that you despise everything about them. God will teach you how to love them.
Sure He will.
That's what God will do.
Better believe it.
I tell you what, there's people that have come to our church that just don't fit exactly in with the way that we think. I tell you what we would like to do. We just want somebody that's going to come in here and fit our little mold. That's not the kind of people that I want. I want people that are a little bit different. Because everybody's like me. They're a little bit loopy in the head anyways.
Sure.
I mean, do you want a church full of Smiths and Vernons? I mean, my goodness, think about that.
Lord,
you want a church full of Smiths and Vernons? Yeah. My goodness. Could you imagine everybody come in and not talk to anybody? Everybody just come in and look at each other and not speak a word. Oh, anyways.
That's the way we treat our visitors around.
Yeah. We treat our visitors like that. So, poor people. For manslayers. I tell you who else. Verse 10. For whoremongers. Who's the law of God for? It's for whoremongers. People that live in fornication. People that commit fornication. Whoremongers. Mm-hmm. Whoremongers. That's who the law of God's for. For them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. If there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. That's who the law of God's for. That's who the law of God's for. That's who the law of God's for. But you won't believe it. Won't believe that. Most of you that are in here that are lost, and no doubt that you said 90-some percent, it's still probably about the same. Still probably about the same amount of people. 90-some percent of people in here are lost.
Oh, sure.
Even right now.
Sure.
And don't let that bother you too bad. Don't let that bother. I just look at some of your lives, and you absolutely have no fruit towards godliness, so. I mean, why should I think that you're saved? I'm not going to sit around and tell my daughter that you're saved. I'm not going to sit around and tell my wife that you're saved. I'm not going to sit around and confuse some of these young people and tell them that you're saved. Whenever it comes time for you to die and we have to, and everybody wants to preach you into hell, I'm going to be sitting back and say, I don't think so. Not according to my Bible. Everybody wants to preach everybody into hell or heaven, but most people aren't going there.
Everybody dies, and all of a sudden a whoremonger's going to heaven. You're a drunkard all your life, but now all of a sudden you love God. That's not the way it is. Right. Why don't you quit confusing these young people? They didn't live for God. They're full of bitterness. They're full of hatred. They didn't love people. What makes you think they were saved? They didn't love the brethren. They didn't love the church. They didn't love the Word of God. What makes you think they're saved?
Right.
What makes you think they're saved? They have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of them, and I tell you what it produces. It produces wicked lifestyles. That's what it produces. That's called easy believism.
Mm-hmm.
God steps in and creates a new person in you.
Sure.
I'm not going to sit around and tell people that you're saved. There's people in here that they have some pretty tremendous testimonies, but I look at their lives. I'm not going to tell my child they're saved. I'm not going to tell them. That bothers you, so be it. I don't know that you're saved anyways. You should know that you're saved, and that's about it. I'm not going to pat you on the back and tell you that you're a child of God.
Right.
God don't do it, then you probably don't have it. And what else? And not only that, they didn't believe the laws of God, but he would not repent. He wouldn't repent. He knew he was in hell because he wouldn't repent. He wouldn't repent. What is it to repent? Well, repentance is a change of mind. Repentance is a change of mind. You look through the Bible, it is a change of mind. And whenever you look at your life, and for the first time in your life, you're able to turn around and you're able to say, God's right and I'm wrong. God's right and I'm wrong. You're willing to take sides with God against yourself. Willing to take sides with God against yourself. Some of you have never done that. Most of you just pray a little prayer and whatever else, and you know, you have a little frilly little testimony and everything else, and you've prayed a little prayer, and you may have even cried and whatever else. Find me one place in the Bible where those people that got saved cried. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. Does the Bible say a whole lot about tears running down their face? No. The Bible doesn't say a whole lot about the experience, but I'll tell you what did happen. They repented and they believed. That is what's important. Because you can cry till you run out of tears and you'll go straight to hell if you don't believe and repent. You can cry, you can snot till you can fill up a gallon jug of water. One of those gallons. Gallon jug. You can snot and tear until you fill it up. If you don't believe and repent, you're going to go straight to hell. Have you ever taken sides with God against yourself? You ever taken sides with God against yourself? Said, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Oh, not that I've committed fornication. Not that I've sinned. Oh, I've been a fornicator. I've been a drunkard. I've been a liar. I've been a thief. I've been all these things. No, I am a thief. I am a fornicator. I am a liar. I am a whoremonger. I am covetousness. I am this. This is what my life is. This is who I am. You know who you are? The reason why you do the things that you do? Because that is who you are.
Sure.
You know why you lie? You know why you steal? Because you are a thief. You know why you commit fornication? Because you are a whoremonger. Because you're a harlot and a whore. That's why you do that. That's why you do that. Not because it's just, well, everybody sins and everything else. That's not the attitude of a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Not the attitude of a Christian.
Nope.
All that is trying to justify yourself, and you will not be convicted of your sin. Christians don't sit around and do that garbage. They don't sit around and do that garbage. You know why? Because there's been a time when you have taken sides with God and said, yes, Lord, I'm wicked. I'm wicked. You know, you look at some people every now. Somebody got mad at me because I looked at this girl because she didn't fool me at all. And I said, you know what? You have a dark and wicked heart, young lady. Somebody got mad at me about that. Well, she ran off from home and, you know, was running around with married men and everything else. And the parents still wanted to be mad at me. I'm like, well, I saw it. You didn't see it. I saw it. I saw it. You didn't. I mean, Pastor, do you have a wicked and black heart? I mean, you used to, and then Jesus Christ stepped in. That's what Jesus Christ does. But tell you why they got offended, because that person had never, ever
took sides against themselves with God and said, I'm wicked. I am a grief to God. I'm an utter grief to God. How many people in here want to raise their hand and admit, I am an utter grief to God? People don't want to do that. How many people want to stand up and admit, I am very grievous in the sight of God? Most of you are. The majority of your people in here's lives are an utter grief to God. It is a grief to God that you live the way you do. It grieves God in his very being the way that you live. But most of you in here have convinced yourself because you've been deluded. You've been deluded by the world. You've been deluded by religion. You've been deluded by the devil. Maybe even God's deluded you. And you'd say, I'm not a grief to God. I look at my life most of the time. And I look, I'll be driving down the road every now and then. And I'll just stop and say, what a grief to God. What a grief to God.
Sure.
What a grief I am to God. Tell you why some of you can't say the same thing is because you've never taken sides with God against yourself. Most of you in here are in utter grief in the sight of God. Talk about that sweet smell and savor in the sight of God. Most of you going into the nostrils of God is just an utter grief. Makes you want to vomit.
Sure.
Most of it's an abomination. Most of, when you even come to church, the very piety of the way you behave is an utter abomination in the sight of God.
Stench.
But you would never raise your hand and say, I'm an utter grief to God. You never sat at home and it's never dawned on you, I'm an utter grief in the sight of God. Look at my life. Look at the way I live. Look at my lack of Bible reading. Look at my lack of concern for the things of God. What a grief to God I am.
That's right, buddy.
What a grief to God. Never raise your hand and say that. I'll tell you why. Because you're scared. You're a coward. You wouldn't dare look at God and say, I don't care anything about you, God. But you do it in your heart and life. You're scared. God already knows.
Sure he does.
They would not repent. He would not repent. Would not repent. For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Sorrow of the world worketh death. People have sorrow after the world many times in their professions. Well, I never asked Jesus to come into my heart and I was scared to go to hell, and because I'm so wonderful and you know I'm just great, I didn't deserve to go to hell. So what I need to do is make a profession. And all that is me, self-love, me. But when have you ever come to the point in your life to say, God, if you would receive glory out of it, put me in hell. God, if you'd receive glory out of it, put me in hell, because I deserve it.
Sure.
God, if you'd receive glory out of putting me in hell, go ahead and put me there. Go ahead and put me there because I deserve it. If you can receive glory from it. You don't care about God, you care about yourself most of the time. That's that worldly sorrow. Being more concerned about yourself than God. If God could receive glory out of me being saved, God, would you have mercy upon me, a sinner? God, if you would have mercy upon me, a sinner, well, God, would you use me to glorify your name? I tell you why we get saved, because me, I don't want to go to hell. I deserve to be a Christian. I, me. That's why most people get saved. I don't want to go to hell. What about God? What about God? God, if you could receive glory out of it, put me in hell. What about that? What about for the glory of God? What about for His well-pleasing? What about for the honor of God? Most of you are so concerned and wrapped up in yourself that you'll never be saved. What about God? What about magnifying God? What about for the praise of God? What about for the honor of God? What about the glory of God? What about for His well-pleasing?
Good.
What about Him? Jesus died. Does He not deserve your soul? Does He not? He died for your soul. Does He not deserve it?
Sure.
Does He not deserve it? Yes, He deserves it. He deserves it. He deserves to have the people for whom which He died for. He
deserves us.
He deserves it. Not that we're anything special.
No.
He loved us. He gave Himself for us. What about Him? What about Him? Most of you can spit on that. Oh, Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin. What about the ball game? What about this and that? What about the fishing holes? What about the paycheck? What about all these things? What about the deer stand? What about Jesus Christ?
Sure.
Who needs him? You know what? I was thinking about it last night. You know, we're going to all these Christmas parties and I look at people's lives. People have utterly deceived themselves. You look at people's lives. And you see, and you can sit back and you can see their utter need for Christ. And you sit back brokenhearted. I'm talking about the sufferings of Christ. Those are the fellowship of the sufferings. You look back and you see the just grief to God. And yet you see their need for Jesus Christ and you love them. That's what Jesus did.
Sure.
But all these little get-togethers and everything, you sit back and you see the way people live, the way people behave, the way what's going on in people's lives, they act like they don't need Christ, and their lives are utterly destroyed because of sin. Their lives are ruined because of sin. They don't need Jesus Christ. Mm. You look at the decisions that they've made, the position of their life, the place that they are in life. They just do it all on their own, can't they? Just do it all on my own. You don't need God. What has it profited you? What has your way profited you? What is it Matt, what has that baseball profited you now? What has it profited you? I know you've got a college education, but when you die and all that, what does that matter? What does it matter? You've gone your way and you've profited. We can look at these things. We've profited, haven't we? It's been for nothing. It's been for nothing. Been for nothing. Absolutely nothing. You say, well, I've learned a few life lessons. Did you learn it in baseball? So, baseball is God, right? Football is God. Sports are God. We're going to learn our lessons. We're going to play football. We're going to learn some good life lessons. I guess we couldn't learn it from the Bible. Most of it's just a bunch of worldly wisdom anyways. Bunch of worldly wisdom. Going our way. We've done it. We've accomplished it. We're big time. Done it our way. What has your way profited you with God? What has your way profited you? What has your way profited you? What has your way profited you? What has it done for you? God's looking for the man, boy, girl, child, woman that's willing to look God face to face and say, God, I've sinned. I've perverted that which was right. I've been given all this teaching. I've been given all these things. And I've perverted it. It's profited me nothing. What has your way profited you? What's it profited you? Bunch of vanity. I'm done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word of God. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. God.